Tonight, On Edge, heavy security from coast to coast, police out in force as America celebrates Independence Day, and we learn new details about an explosion in New York's Central Park. Wave of terror, a series of large explosions today in three different cities following a string of deadly ISIS attacks, all in less than a week. Takedown mistake, caught on camera, a Muslim man in traditional clothing thrown to the ground at gunpoint by police, and the international travel warning it has caused. Political fireworks. Donald Trump hits back after the Clinton campaign accused him of anti-Semitism, while speculation heats up about his VP pick. And the potential hidden danger at many backyard barbecues that injures hundreds every year. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. I'm Kate Snow in for Lester tonight. Happy 4th. On this holiday, along with the fireworks and celebrations, there are concerns after so many scenes of terror over the past week, the worst bombing in a decade in Baghdad, and new bombings today in Saudi Arabia. U.S. authorities are on high alert. While the Department of Homeland Security says there are no specific or credible threats to the nation, authorities are taking no chances. Rahima Ellis has more from New York, where 1 million people are gathering for fireworks.
As the nation celebrates this 4th of July, security forces are keeping a close watch, and police are putting on a show of force. In Chicago, more than 5,000 officers on the streets where shootings occurred this weekend. Two people were killed, 30 wounded. In the nation's capital, boats patrolled the Potomac, while bomb-sniffing dogs made their way through the airport. Boston is prepping for their annual fireworks extravaganza with barricades and added patrols. And in the country's largest city, police are on foot and horse patrol after the explosion of a homemade firework in Central Park yesterday severely injured an 18-year-old tourist. Investigators say the blast was a result of someone else experimenting with fireworks and was not a terrorist act. But the initial massive police response shows that New York City is taking no chances this holiday weekend.
We live in very dangerous times. The public depends on us, and we depend on you.
We totally trust the police force here.
Divers inspected the waters around the barge where the famed Macy's fireworks are housed. Meanwhile, the newest members of the NYPD K-9 unit hit the streets, specially trained to detect bomb vapors.
New York City has talked about they have layers of security right in place this holiday weekend.
Right.
Does that give you comfort?
Well, I don't think anybody can protect against everything that can happen, but I do think that New York's got as good a security apparatus as you could have anywhere.
Well, authorities say there's no credible terror threat. Police nationwide are carefully watching as millions celebrate the holiday.
Officials say New York City has been on high alert since 9/11, but tonight they say there are more police on patrol than ever before. Kate?
Rahima Ellis in New York. Rahima, thank you. Feeding fears today, a series of bombings hit three different cities across Saudi Arabia. That follows a string of deadly ISIS attacks across the globe during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. We get more tonight from NBC's Bill Neely.
Minutes after a bomb attack outside the second holiest site in Islam, where the Prophet Muhammad is buried. This is Medina, policemen the targets, ISIS suspected, though no claim of responsibility. A symbolic blow to Saudi Arabia's rulers. One of three attacks there in a day. Earlier controlled explosions outside the American consulate in Jeddah, where a suicide bomber blew himself up after he was stopped by security. No Americans were hurt. In a third city, another bomber tried to kill Shia Muslims at a mosque. In neighboring Iraq over the weekend, carnage. It's Iraq's worst bombing for a decade, timed like the Saudi attacks for the end of the holy month of Ramadan, when ISIS urged its followers to strike hard. On Friday night in Bangladesh, three American university students were among 20 foreigners killed at a restaurant, the worst attack in that country's history. As ISIS loses ground in Iraq, it strikes back globally, hoping to win recruits with high casualty, high profile attacks. The ISIS assault over Ramadan spans three continents, from the Asian strike in Bangladesh to five attacks in the Mideast, from Turkey to Paris and another ISIS-inspired massacre in Orlando. Nearly 400 dead in 4 weeks.
This is an ISIS move to reassert itself, to show its support base that's actually winning, not losing.
And it now has, amid Baghdad's bloodshed, the deadliest attack it has ever staged. Bill Neely, NBC News, London.
Back here at home, anxiety over terror may have led to a troubling incident in Ohio. It was all caught on police body cams. A man visiting from the United Arab Emirates, briefly suspected of being an ISIS terrorist and taken down by police. It's led to an international travel warning from his native country. NBC's Steve Patterson has more.
The call comes in.
There's an Arabic male in full headdress, several cell phones claiming his allegiance to ISIS.
Officers quickly arrive on scene with assault-style weapons, confronting what they believe is a possible terror suspect. The man is wearing traditional robe and headdress. Relatives of a hotel clerk called 911 after the clerk heard the man speaking on his phone in Arabic. The man, Ahmed Amanali, a businessman from the United Arab Emirates, appears confused, pleading with police.
How good is this? I'm tourist, and this is good, not good.
Yeah, it's not good. It's right.
After about 10 minutes and finding no cause to make an arrest, he's allowed to stand up, then collapses.
You okay?
And is taken to the hospital. Officials would later learn he had been in the U.S. for months, seeking medical treatment at the world-renowned Cleveland Clinic. Over the weekend, the town's mayor and police chief apologized.
It is a very regrettable circumstance that occurred for you.
Tonight, Al-Manali is telling NBC News he loves America and is upset by the incident.
I'm sad, too sad, and too much sad.
Officials are reviewing the incident and whether charges will be filed against the person who called 911. The UAE, meantime, has issued a warning to all its citizens, warning them not to wear traditional clothing while traveling abroad. Steve Patterson, NBC News.
A toxic emergency has put a serious damper on holiday festivities in Florida. Authorities there are racing to contain a massive algae bloom that some say is growing into an environmental disaster. And Florida isn't alone. As NBC's Gabe Gutierrez tells us, other communities have been battling this problem for years.
At Bathtub Reef Beach, this 4th of July is different.
It's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking.
Allison Green has lived in Martin County all her life, but this year, this shore shut down as toxic blue-green algae threatens parts of Florida, four counties under a state of emergency.
It's hard for us, for our whole family. We're a family that loves to swim.
Typically, algae blooms feed off excess nitrogen and phosphorus that enter the water from many different sources, including homes, industry, and fossil fuels. The debate is raging over what's to blame for this latest growth, but scientists say there are many factors, including population growth and climate change.
Basically, we're fertilizing all of our waters to death. Here we go.
Dr. Bill Lauda with Florida Atlantic University says it's too soon to know how long this glop will stick around.
This could go on certainly for weeks. Whether it goes into months, I can't say. This is how do you predict Mother Nature?
For years, major blooms have been an environmental challenge, from California, where today a lake in Oakland was shut down for the third straight year, to Lake Erie, where 2 years ago algae tainted drinking water in Toledo, Ohio. Several Midwestern states are now taking steps to reduce phosphorus in their rivers, and just last month, the Centers for Disease Control launched a website where people can report algae blooms.
Something absolutely has to be done. There's no way around it.
Tonight on the Treasure Coast, Allison Green just wants her beach back. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Martin County, Florida.
Millions are keeping their eyes on the sky in the eastern half of the U.S. tonight, hoping rain doesn't spoil their fireworks shows. A severe thunderstorm watch is in effect for parts of the South. Washington, D.C. was also pounded by rain today, leading the White House to move its annual South Lawn picnic inside, which, by the way, marks a big day for first daughter Malia Obama. She's celebrating her 18th birthday. Turning to the race to fill the White House, and Donald Trump firing back at Hillary Clinton tonight, arguing that linking an image he posted on social media with anti-Semitism is, quote,
ridiculous. All of this as the competition grows to be Trump's running mate. NBC's Kelly O'Donnell with all the details.
Celebrating the 4th in Indiana.
Hi, good to see you.
Governor Mike Pence joining a parade of potential Trump running mates, a social conservative up for re-election. Pence spent part of the holiday weekend with Trump.
We'll always count it a privilege that we were able to spend time as a family with a family that we truly hope is the first family of the United States.
Using one of his golf resorts to tee up speculation about VP contenders. On Twitter, Trump gave the Pence family a thumbs up. Very impressed, great people. And announced a visit today from rising GOP star Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, who served in Iraq and delivered her party's State of the Union response last year. For any of the running mate shortlisters, responding to Trump-made controversies is part of the job. Today, more fallout over this design used in a tweet to criticize Hillary Clinton, derided as anti-Semitic for the Star of David shape over $100 bills. The same graphic appeared 2 weeks earlier on an account that promoted racist imagery. Trump's campaign altered the picture and called it a correction. But today, Trump blamed a dishonest media and said it could be seen as a sheriff's star. Clinton's campaign responded in a statement. This blatantly anti-Semitic image is part of a pattern that should give voters major cause for concern. Late today, Trump issued a statement. No apology, no explanation of where he got the offending image, but a counterpunch, accusing Clinton of trying to divert attention from the dishonest behavior of herself and her husband.
And Trump is back on the campaign trail tomorrow in North Carolina, but he will have competitive company. President Obama and Hillary Clinton will also campaign in North Carolina, their first time on the trail together this year. And we've learned that they will travel together on Air Force One. That's something that Donald Trump is already tweeting about critically. Kate?
Kelly O'Donnell in Washington following it all. Now to what's being called an outrageous affront to our nation's World War II veterans, an overwhelming number who say they were intentionally exposed to mustard gas in secret experiments have been denied benefits for decades. NBC's Jim Mikleshevsky has more on their long fight against the government.
Throngs of people hail the end of the war in Europe.
It's been 70 years since the end of World War II, yet many of its veterans are still locked in a bitter battle.
I'm extremely angry that our country would do this to our servicemen.
Beverly House says her father, Private Arla Harrell, and other soldiers were ordered into gas chambers and exposed to high levels of mustard gas during Army chemical weapons experiments at Camp Crowder, Missouri in 1945.
He got extremely ill right after he got out of the gas chamber, very ill.
96-year-old veteran Rollin Edwards says he knows the horrors of the Army gas chamber experiments.
It just felt like you was in a furnace of fire, just a million fire ants all over you.
To this day, he bears the open scars.
It's absolute torture to go through that test and then live to tell about it.
For decades, Arla Harrell has suffered emphysema, asthma, and physical scarring, symptoms of exposure to mustard gas. But last month, the Department of Veterans Affairs rejected Harrell's request for medical benefits for the sixth time in 21 years.
In fact, a congressional study found that out of 4,000 veterans exposed to chemical testing and experiments, the VA rejected 90% of their claims for lack of adequate records.
There's something terribly wrong with that. It's heartbreaking.
Outraged, Senator Claire McCaskill has introduced a bill to force the VA to reopen every claim previously rejected. The VA claims it remains committed to providing medical benefits to victims of mustard gas. Beverly Howe fears it's already too late.
It's sad. It's very sad. And I just want my dad to be recognized before he's gone.
Jim Mikleshevsky, NBC News, The Pentagon.
We're back now with a potential danger at 4th of July barbecues. Experts say millions of outdoor decks at homes across America are simply too old. Just today, this deck collapsed in New York State, sending four to the hospital. NBC National Investigative Correspondent Jeff Rawson has tonight's report on how to protect your family this summer.
debt's collapse, it is fast and violent. And it's happening coast to coast. Indiana, this family tumbling 15 feet when the deck gives way. Several injured. On another deck, watch what happens to these students taking pictures before prom. Terrifying moments. Luckily, they're okay. Already this year, major deck collapses from Alabama to South Carolina to New York. Dozens rush to hospitals. On average, more than 500 are injured every year.
There are about 40 million decks in the United States, and about half of those decks are not built to code. Half. Half of them.
Scott Fisher is a structural engineer with Simpson Strong Tie.
So what should we be looking for?
If you see that the board that attaches your deck back to your house is connected with only nails, that can make the deck very unsafe. Nails are smooth and round, and they can pull away from the home.
Good for hanging photos, not for hanging a deck.
Exactly. Another warning sign we want homeowners to look for are cracked posts or beams.
So even a crack this slight can bring your deck down.
Absolutely. Another warning sign we want homeowners to look for is rotted wood. Now here's a piece of rotted wood. An easy way to test to see if you have rot, just take a nail and poke it in the wood. If it's soft or spongy, you should have that post replaced.
He says this is what a deck should look like. Lots of metal attached to the house with screws and bolts. So important. In fact, watch what happens when he removes a couple of nails from our bad deck.
Look at that. It can happen in an instant. Imagine if you or your family were up there.
It's scary.
Scary.
And a reminder just how quickly the bottom can fall out. Rawson, NBC News, Pleasanton, California.
Wow, we're back in a moment with a five-year mission to space that all hinges on what happens tonight. It is the moment of truth for an ambitious NASA mission that blasted off 5 years ago and traveled nearly 2 billion miles, billion with a B. NASA's Juno probe has finally reached Jupiter, but late tonight, NASA has to hit the brakes by burning Juno's main engine, slowing it down enough to enter Jupiter's orbit. If it's successful, Juno will give us the closest pictures ever of our solar system's biggest planet. Finally, tonight, as we celebrate America's birthday, we want to take a moment to honor the men and women who've served our country on the battlefield. For those who've suffered the wounds of war, adjusting to life back at home can be daunting. But many have found peace in a program that really, forgive the pun, has them hooked. Here's Harry Smith.
Retired Staff Sergeant Robert Bartlett is fishing for trout on a gentle stream in the Blue Ridge Mountains. An IED took half his face and one eye while on patrol in Iraq.
You just get a chance to reset, you know, and just not think about the future, not think about the past, but just fish for a bit.
About a dozen years ago, Navy veteran Ed Nicholson was in Walter Reed Hospital for cancer treatment. He saw the young people around him, severely wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan, and thought to himself,
I'm going to go out and fish. I bet some of these guys would like to join me.
That was the beginning of Healing Waters. With more than 200 chapters now, volunteers teach wounded vets fly fishing. They say it builds a bridge back, because for some, that journey has been a desperate one.
I don't know how many friends I've got that have had 45s in their mouths. We got them in these programs, and it saved their life.
David Folkerts first linked up with Healing Waters 10 years ago while recovering from an IED blast. He's now the chief operating officer.
It got me away from thinking about all the negative things and all the things that I couldn't do quite as well, and it lifted that dark cloud.
A day on the river, says Captain Alvin Schell, can serve as a salve to pains both physical and spiritual.
This right here, this is my recreational therapy. It gives me calm. It relaxes me.
There is joy, of course, in the catching, but camaraderie may be the biggest benefit.
I can share with another vet. They don't judge me. They've been there themselves, and we move on.
A few hours on a river may not wash away a war, but the vets learn the waters can heal you if you let them. Harry Smith, NBC News, Syria, Virginia.
just fishing on this 4th. That will do it for us on a Monday night. I'm Kate Snow. I'll see you back here on MSNBC tomorrow. Happy Independence Day for all of us at NBC News. Thank you for watching. Have a great night.